doing an oral interview of Margaret Wade Harris for the Oral History Project of the Brownsburg Community Association Museum. Today's date is December 13th, 2007, and this interview is being conducted at 2671 Brownsburg Turnpike in Brownsburg, Virginia. And our interviewee is Margaret Wade Harris, and I'm going to ask her to, don't put it on there. And I'm going to ask her to say a few words to make sure this recording is recording. So, Margaret, would you just give us your name and your address?
I'm Margaret Ellen Wade Harris, and I reside 906 Royal Street, Stanton, Virginia. And I'm delighted to be here today and give to the Historical Association as much information as my brain can spill out.
Ms. Harris, thank you for coming to this interview today. We'll go over some questions, and you can answer them at your best recollection of what you can recall about these subjects. Feel free to expand on them in any way you wish to. Let me just ask some preliminary questions. When did you live in Brownsburg? What years, primarily?
I was born May the 2nd, 1929, in a home built by my grandfather, John Henry Potter, who is presently 007, owned by Walter and Dot Lunsford. My family moved to Stanton June the 30th, 1941.
So you lived here between the time you were born and 1941?
Yes.
Right. And you were born in Brownsburg?
Yes, I was born in the house that Granddaddy John Henry Potter built. I was delivered by a midwife, Aunt Mariah Fisher, who lived over on what we call then Rafine Hill. Her husband worked as a maintenance worker in Lexington, and I can recall he going back and forth on a very deep brown horse. That's the only way I know how to describe that. She attended my mother before my delivery, possibly that early morning, and stayed with my family and my mother for 3 days.
Yeah, how big a family were you in?
I was born in 29, and I was the last one of four brothers and three sisters.
Four brothers and three sisters, and you're the youngest.
Absolutely.
And you lived in what is now the Lunsford house?
Yes, belongs to Dot and Walter.
And is that, did you live in that location the entire time?
Yes.
And you may have already done this, but what were the names of your parents?
My parents were Samuel Bell Wade, who married Mary Annie Potter.
And were they both natives of Brownsburg?
Yes, yes. Daddy was born on Slope Lane. The farm belonged to my grandfather, William Moore Wade. My mother was born in the old log house that sat in front of the present house that's owned by the Lunsford on that property.
So there was another house in front of their house?
Yes. If you'll notice going up the road, there is a bank. And that bank was what then was just an old, as described to me by my mother, was an old dirt road in the late 1800s, early 1800s. And that was dug away, and all that excess dirt was made into that bank. The log house sat, sort of left to the new house. When Granddaddy's mother died, he inherited all of that property. And probably during Grandma Potter's lifetime, Granddaddy started building the present building.
Mm-hmm. And was then the log building taken down?
Yes, it was dismantled. Mm-hmm. It was dismantled, and if you, of course, know about the building behind Dot and Walter in their yard in the back.
Right.
That at one time sat in the front corner of the yard, and that was Granddaddy's Potter's shop. He was a cobbler and a carpenter. And he proceeded then to build the new house.
Yes.
That's what we called it, yes.
So how many generations of your family have lived in the Brownsburg area? More or less, if you know. They're back considerable.
Absolutely, here. Yeah. The Wades go back. Granddaddy, William Moore Wade, married Mary Lou McClure, and I pronounce that McClure. The McClures have lived in this area and down through Augusta before Rockbridge
was formed.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm going to state about six generations.
And what did your family, what did your father and mother do when you were living here? Were they engaged in any particular occupations or avocations?
My mother was a homemaker, but also she was a professional seamstress. She sewed clothing for anyone and everyone in Brownsburg. She sewed particularly for the teachers. Mother was very talented in that she could look at a piece of clothing, we could go to a shop, and she could come home and get out newspaper or brown bags and make a pattern. And
right?
From that,
so she did a lot of sewing.
She did. She also did crocheting, beautiful pineapple design tablecloths, mm-hmm. of which I'm very fortunate to have inherited some of those. She also did knitting. She made sweaters, and I also have a sweater that she had made. Very talented in that direction. She was also very active in the church, which was the Lighthouse Church, and that was owned by, as we called her, Mother Mars. Mother played the piano, and she played the organ. She was superintendent of our Sunday school. She did the ordering for the church. She taught Sunday school. She's a very, very active person.
I would say so. She had a big family, too.
Yes, absolutely, taking care of four brothers and three sisters. My father was what you call a finished carpenter. He did beautiful, beautiful work, like moldings, cabinet work.
Did he work on any of the houses in the Brownsburg area?
Yes,
community?
I do believe he helped to build the Patterson Barn. He made cabinets for the Weitzel kitchen. I can recall that. He made our dining room table, which was absolutely gorgeous. He made that out of walnut from up at Grandpa's farm. He did. He made brooms and he sold brooms. He also raised the, I'll call it popcorn, or the corn that is the popcorns.
Made from.
Yes, and he sold those.
Very good.
Let me tell you,
yes, go ahead.
You asked if he was in a business. My father was not educated as a CPA, but it's what we'd call it, a bookkeeper. He kept books for the Lucas Grocery, which, on your left-hand side about the corner house before you get to Old South Antique.
That's where Dick Barnes's current house is.
Okay, and now where the old store was, that has been torn down.
Yes, yes.
My dad.
But that's the same corner, I think.
Yes, yeah. It is. He kept books.
Kept books for that store.
For that store. Also, he kept books for Mr. Tanksley's store in Lexington, and Mr. I can't think of the other grocery store. But he kept those at the same time. He'd go from store to store and keep their books.
How did he get into that business?
I really don't know. He's just had a head for, we'll just say, quote unquote,
figures.
A head for figures.
And what were the ages of your sisters and brothers? What was the age range? In other words, how many? Who was the oldest?
Mom and Dad were married in 1908, and Thelma Elizabeth, the oldest, was born in 1910. So I would say a space between each and every one was about maybe 2.5-3 years, until it came down to my youngest brother, Bobby. And there's 7 years space
between him
between
and
Bobby
you.
And I. Yeah. Yes.
Did your brothers and sisters stay in Brownsburg, or did they leave also?
No, they all stayed in Brownsburg until we left in 1941.
Okay.
And the reason for leaving then is because of World War II was looming. And my father was a strict Democrat. He just, that one ticket, that was it. He was Presbyterian, but he was also a politician, so to speak. And he read very, very... kept up with the politics in our government, and he could see that the war definitely was looming. And the boys had to register, which at that time they registered at the Brownsburg School.
So they were all eligible to be called into the service.
Yes, yes, at that time. They were above 18 years old.
So he decided that it was a better place to be in Stanton?
Well, Dan was looking for government work. It's what he called it. He secured a job at the Norfolk Shipbuilding Company. I'm sure there's another name for it, but that's what I'll call it. And there, his talent was used as a finished carpenter. He finished the officers' quarters in particular, and I have pictures of those. It's beautiful work.
Was that in Stanton?
No, that's in Norfolk.
In Norfolk?
Yeah,
okay.
The Norfolk Shipbuilding Company.
So he actually went to Norfolk?
He went to Norfolk, and then we secured residence in Stanton.
What's your first memory of Brownsburg?
Yeah, what number is that? Let me see if I wrote that down. I know what it was. Okay, Steelhouse Alley.
Correct.
Okay. I can recall my brothers going out in that alley and putting off firecrackers. It scared me to death. I have never heard such a loud noise.
Was this at the 4th of July or some other time?
4th of July and Christmas also.
Also.
First was the 4th of July.
Okay. And who were some of your neighbors at that time when you all lived here?
On our right-hand side was, the last name of Carol. Oh, Tribby was her name. She was Tribby Heartless from... think of the name of the place. Anyway, Tribby Heartless married Otis Carroll, and there were two sons, Leon and Curtis.
They lived to the right of
yes,
your house.
And then to the left, of course, was this home, Mrs. Mars. But in Brownsburg, then.
Who else? Whatever families are.
We were all neighbors. Across the road from us were Aggie and the Craney family, their two daughters, Ruth and Frances. And then they had family living with them by the name of Gilmore and Harrison. On the diagonal side then from us were Mr. and Mrs. Dudley. She was Martha Lotz and married, I think his name was Lutheran, or I don't recall really
That's
his
right.
name.
That's right.
And then, of course, were the Whitesells with the funeral home. And on down the way then was the family of Dices. Beyond there then was the family of Mr. Jim Bosworth, who owned, which has now been converted into that brick house, log house.
Log house.
Mm-hmm. 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 So,
and,
we were just neighbors with all of them.
So, you all lived pretty much together.
We did. Well, I may be getting a little bit ahead, but Granddaddy Wade on Slope Lane owned an acreage of around 325 acres. Mm-hmm. And during the Depression, it really didn't bother the Wade family as far as we had plenty, maybe not plenty financially, but the woods were plentiful of wood. We cut wood. Granddaddy raised hogs and cattle, milk cows, ducks, turkeys, chickens. So we had plenty. And Daddy was the type of person he would share. There was always a hog for families in the community that he saw really needed it. And there was also a milk cow for them. Mm-hmm. And then that cow would be butchered, and then we'd use another one, of course. Mm-hmm. And then he had cattle. We had plenty of food from, there were two gardens up there. One was an acre of potatoes. So, I mean, that was
a lot of
potatoes.
A lot of potatoes.
But we shared. Mm-hmm. We shared with anyone who was in need.
So, did your brothers and sisters and yourself go up to help out on the farm?
Well, I didn't. I was a little young, but I went up and got in the way. Yes, they did.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The family helped out.
Absolutely. Well, and other persons, other men here in the neighborhood who knew that, who knew they were going to get some of the meat and the garden supplies.
Did you have other relatives, other family relatives who lived in the Brownsburg area, besides your grandfather and grandmother?
Yes, I'm speaking of Granddaddy Wade on Slope Lane. I have had another grandfather, great-grandfather, Jacob Brubeck Wade, who Nancy and Dan Cook now own on Rayfane Road. And Granddaddy Wade, Jacob Brubeck Wade, married Jane Amelia Moore. And when she came to marry, she brought 200 acres as a dowry, and Granddaddy owned quite a bit of acreage also. So they were here in the vicinity. Also, James Franklin Wade, who is the brother of Jacob Brubeck Wade, he had the mill. Also, the McClures were in the outlying areas.
So there were other family
Oh,
members
yes.
around.
Also, the Runkles lived close to Rockbridge Bass, which is owned by the Bears now. I come into that through the descendants of Earhart. That's a German side of the family.
All right, let's go on to schools. I assume you attended schools in the area.
Absolutely.
All
I attended Brownsburg School.
right, what grades did you attend?
I attended 1 through 6.
1 through 6. Do you remember the names of any of your teachers?
I certainly do.
Well, tell us who they
Well,
were.
let's see. Molly Sue, of course.
Molly
Molly
Sue
Sue
Whipple.
Whipple, first grade. Second grade
Did you
was,
have Molly Sue in the first grade?
yes. Second grade was Mrs. Rubush. Third grade was Mrs. Williams. And the fourth grade was, I believe, Mrs. Buchanan. The fifth grade, I had a Mrs. Cummings, and it seems like I've spoken with other girls that have attended the same classes with me. They do not recall a Mrs. Cummings, but I do. She may have been a substitute.
Substitute,
Yeah,
possibly, yes.
yeah. And of course, there was O.C. Ellen Trimmer, who was the principal.
How big were those classes?
Oh, I'd say the first grade would've been, I don't know, maybe 14, maybe larger.
Were they the students generally from Brownsburg or nearby?
At the beginning of the school, yes, they were. Of course, there were school buses that went back to as far as Rockbridge Bass, but they didn't go as far as Gation or some of the outlying areas that they do now.
Do you have any special experiences attending Brownsburg School that
Well,
you would like
yes.
to tell us about?
Since I lived down here on the corner, and the school, of course, was only a short distance for me to walk.
You didn't have to take school bus,
No way.
did
After school, my brothers and I and my older sisters would go back to school, and with O.C. Ellen Trimmer, she would play basketball with us. We played football, touch football. We did track. We would do what she called back then was physical education. And just
Whatever.
really enjoyed it. The school was used a lot. Yes.
After, of course, you left here in 41, you were still in school at that point.
Yes, I transferred
So you
to.
had transferred up to Stanton
Yeah.
after that. How many buildings were at the school at that point? Were they all the same?
Well, my first grade was in the old academy.
Okay. So when was the new building? Were you there when the new building was built?
Yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I had that program. I really don't recall.
I think it was
But
supposed to have been built. At least I've been told that it was built in 1938. Does that sound about right?
that is probably right, because 38, 39, 40, 41. Yes, I was in 3 grades in the new building.
So you had 3 of your grades in the new building,
Yes,
right?
I do. Yes, so that would
But when
probably
you
be right.
started, you were in the original Academy building.
Yes.
And that was torn down, is that correct?
I'm sorry to say, it certainly was. In believed in preservation. He just thought it was terrible and they'd tear something down. But no control over it then.
Good for him. So after you completed school, what did you do then? Did you go on to college or did you go directly into employment?
No, I went to business school.
Okay, where
for
was that?
A year, Dunsmore Business School in Stanton. And then my cousin was Mrs. Clemmer, who was chief operator of CNP Telephone Company. And she suggested to Mother if I wanted a summer job to come up there and apply. So I was with the CNP Telephone Company for about, for summer work, for probably 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then I became real active in school affairs at Lehigh. I was one of the originators, which was called the Tri-High Y. It was affiliated with the YMCA.
I see.
And also, I was cheerleader and sang in the choral society and other activities.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've sort of talked about this. I guess the farming operations that you might have been involved with was primarily your grandfather on Swope Lane.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So did your father didn't do any specific farming operation here in Brownsburg, did he?
No, not in Brownsburg because we didn't have enough acreage.
Right.
But Daddy went every day to help Granddaddy, along with his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy had... there were 11 boys and one girl in my father's family.
Mm-hmm. So they all helped out on the farm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Do you recall anything about the mechanization of the farms in the area?
Excuse me. No, I don't. I recall the horses, but... Granddaddy did not own a truck or a tractor. No.
So you used all horses?
Yes, yes.
For his operations.
Uh-huh, and, uh-huh. Okay. Now, my sister who married Russell Runkel, they bought the what we term the old Hite House, H-I-T-E. It's on Racine Road. I think they were really among the first ones that had a tractor. And a farm truck.
Was that before World War II?
Yes, it was. I would say maybe 39, 40. Mm-hmm.
Did you get to ride any horses or?
Absolutely, I loved them.
Did you raise horses or did you have
we
horses?
Did up at Granddaddy.
At your grandfather.
Granddaddy Wade's, uh-huh,
okay.
Yeah.
So you got to learn how to ride the horses up there?
And take care of them.
And take care of them.
And that was one thing that was specified, take care of your animals.
Right. All right. I assume you attended one of the area churches. If so... Which ones and where were they located?
I attended New Providence Church for Bible school and Sunday school. Sunday school on occasions. The transportation to New Providence for the local children here in this community was a bus, and it was a school bus, which legally then was okay to drive the school bus, pick up children to take them to Sunday school at New Providence. Also, that same school bus, which was driven by Mr. Tollers Wiseman, picked us up to attend Bible school. I never will forget that old bus. I mean, it was lumpy. And I was so glad when Bible school was over and I was home. But on the way home, we'd always have this little song. When Bible school is over and we are going home. That was a lot of fun.
And how about church?
Oh, and church, yes. I attended New Providence, and also, of course, I attended Lighthouse Church.
Right. Now tell us about the Lighthouse Church. I'd like to know a little bit more about where that was located and how big a church it was and how it operated.
It was located on Miss Morris's property, the property that you now own. It would accommodate perhaps 50 people. It was not large, not an enormous church. It was a frame church.
When was it built, do you think? How long had it been here?
All right.
If you know.
29. I'm sure it was here in the early, before 1930. And maybe before then. It was maintained from collection, of course, financially. It was also, today we would call it a grant. Really, that church was an outreach from the Church of Mr. Montgomery that I just vaguely remember him. But he would.
What was his name again?
Mr. Montgomery.
Mm-hmm. Where was he from?
As I stated earlier, I thought he was from Alabama, but I'm not quite sure where.
So it was sort of a missionary kind of church.
It was, yes.
It got started. How many, you say, were there about 50 regular people coming here?
Oh, absolutely. And we have revivals, and I can remember seeing them standing outside. Mm-hmm.
Was there a regular minister?
Mrs. Mars was a regular minister,
Mamie Mars.
Yes. On occasionally, we would have a visiting missionary. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how long did that continue? Do you know when it went away or disappeared?
I moved away to Stanton in 41.
And it was still here then?
It was still here. The building was still here. Now, whether Mrs. Morris was still active in it or not, I don't recall. Because I don't recall us coming back up to attend church up here.
So sometime after 1941?
Yes, the church was dismantled, and it was purchased by the Nazarene Church in Stanton.
The building itself?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they took it down?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did all of your family go to that church?
We all attended that church. But we did not. Some of us attended New Providence. Okay. It was just, Mother attended the Lighthouse, and Daddy was a very staunch Presbyterian, mm-hmm. as he'd go to New Providence.
Okay. So he went to both churches?
Both. Have a good mixture. And my grandmother Potter, she was Lutheran. And so I attended the Lutheran church also.
Where was that?
It was it's over on Rayfing Road. We called it Wayside, but it's New Mount Olive, I believe is what they call it.
Is it before you get to Rayfing?
Yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the people, the ministers in particular, from New Providence?
Yes, Reverend Hannah, mm-hmm. Reverend Withrow, oh no, his name was Walthall, W-A-L-T-H-A-L, I believe is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do recall those two.
And do you have any special experiences of any of the churches or church activities that you recall?
Well, particularly Bible school at New Providence was always very, very interesting because we were we would have a break, and of course we'd get cookies and cake and ice cream.
Was that a big group of children?
Oh, yes.
How many would you say?
Well, I would say in my group it would have been at least 12, mm-hmm. maybe more. Mm-hmm.
And they came from all over
yes,
the area, didn't they?
All over mm-hmm. the area.
Well, this is a general question, but describe what it was like to live in Brownsburg, either when you were growing up or later in life, and what you remember most about living in the Brownsburg area.
Well, I recall a very warm atmosphere. There evidently there had to be dissent, domestic problems, but at my age, that was never discussed at our dinner table.
Right.
My father did not believe in that. And it just was a very loving, caring.
How did, what were the relationships with the black community?
I could describe that again, just as loving and caring.
So everybody got along pretty well?
As far as I know, mm-hmm. as far as I know.
Did you have any interaction with the black children?
Oh, absolutely. Francis and Ruth were my best friends, and I would go to their house and play, or they'd come to our house and play. And Aunt Mose and Kathleen, Isabel, well, I could just name them all. They were welcome in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, we were welcome in their home. Nice people.
And they had their own separate school, didn't they?
They did.
Right. Where was that located?
The house now that's being renovated, which I would remember it as the Ward House. I think that school was just below there.
You're talking about the log building
mm-hmm.
at the far end of town?
Yes.
At the north end of town?
Yes, before you go over the bridge.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it was below that somewhere.
It was
yeah,
in that.
It was below the Janus. There's a street down there called Schoolhouse Lane. It runs into sort of along the creek there.
Yes.
On Janus Ayers' property now.
Yes.
Would that been?
That's probably exactly the area.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what type, do you have any recollection of what type of school?
Yes, it was a log. It was
log
a log house
mm-hmm.
and a building, and it was heated by a big potbelly stove, and my daddy would always make sure that they had wood for that stove. Mm-hmm.
And that was that still operating up to the time you went to Stanton?
You know, I believe it was. I really can't say for sure.
Well, this is an interesting question. When did you or your family first own an automobile?
Well, okay. My uncle, Uncle Tom Huffman, who married my grandmother's sister, that's how I can recall a first automobile. And they came down, oh, he was so proud of it, came down, parked in front of our home, and I put my hand up to see if that was a window. And Uncle Tom said, "Don't mess that. That's what you call isinglass." I don't know what isinglass is. It was really a cloudy piece of material. It wasn't material either. It could be something like plastic today. But he called it isinglass.
So what year would that have been, you think?
That would have been, okay.
Before
I was
World
about
War.
5 years old, 6 years old, 29. About 1934, 35.
What was it, a Ford or was it?
It was a Ford, absolutely.
And, but your own family, when did you all get a car?
Yes, when my father was clerking for Mr. Tanksley, Mr. Woody had ordered new cars, and Daddy spied the green one that had a black top to it. So he brought it home, and he asked Mother what she thought about it, and she said, "Well, it would be nice for transportation." And so Daddy bought, I believe it was a German make, but it was called a Whippet. And a Whippet is actually the name of a German race dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that that is what it was. Uh-huh.
What year was that? Would have been?
Okay. I was in school. Well, I had 7 years to 1929. Or 6 years. Maybe I was 6 years old.
About 1935 or 36.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so prior, well, you may not remember much about it, but you didn't really travel much before that, before you got the automobile, did you?
Actually, yes, I went with Uncle Tom and Aunt Ida different places.
Okay.
Lexington, we'd go over to Fairfield if it was a circus or something like that. And also, along about when I first started school, I went quite a bit with O.C. Ellen Tremmer. I'm her namesake. And Mother sewed for her also.
So you were able to get around to different places?
Yes, uh-huh.
Through other families?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
My older brother then, along that time, he also bought a Studebaker, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It had the rumble seat. That was fun.
So they began to get cars too.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Did you ever use the train that ran through Raphine and Fairfield to Lexington and Stanton?
Yes, and it went up through Decatur.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. Went to Lexington with my mother and older sisters.
You remember doing that?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Was that used a lot in that fashion by families?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. Also, the Greyhound bus then, you could catch at Fairfield.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there were other alternatives.
Yes, there were. We would take the train to Lexington, and then if we wanted to come to Stanton, we'd use Greyhound bus.
I see.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, was there any kind of bus service available, but you've answered that. How did you and your family keep up with what was going on in the county, the country, and the state, the world in general?
Well, as I stated, Daddy was quite interested in politics. And he, I can recall us receiving and subscribing to, I don't know what it was called, the Washington Post that far back, but to a Washington paper and to a Richmond paper, and also to the Gazette. And there is another paper, the Lexington paper, of course.
There were two papers in Lexington.
I don't recall.
The Gazette and the County News, I think.
The County News. No, now the Gazette that I'm speaking of was published, that was published nationally.
Oh, okay.
And you received it in the mail,
by
I
mail.
Believe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you had a variety of newspapers.
Oh,
too,
yes.
Too.
Absolutely. We had plenty of reading material.
Magazines, too?
Yes, uh-huh. I don't recall that the Times was published back then by that name. We received the Post. And maybe the Times. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough question, but what individuals, male or female, stand out in your memory from growing up or living in Reynoldsburg? And tell us why.
Well, I'll refer back to O.C. Ellen Tremmer. She was a real good friend of our family. And she was a good educator. She was strict, but she was strict in a good way that made you want to learn. At least that's the way it felt to me. And as I have said earlier, I learned quite a bit from her in that she would take me, if a movie was very, very educational, I went to Lexington to movies with her. I went to ball games with her down in the Strickler Field where the boys played baseball. I went to school activities with her. I attended, I'll call them a seminar. We'd go to Harrisonburg to a seminar. Myself and Betty Jean Wade. her father was Bud Wade that operated the pool room. She went one time with us. I know I went at least three times to seminars, which were very, very educational.
And she was the principal?
She was principal. Mm-hmm.
And did she live here in Brownsburg while she was principal?
Yes. She roomed and board at what we call the teacher's home.
And where was that located?
Okay, we were speaking earlier of the Ward place that's being
right.
renovated right across from there. And I think the Heffelfingers at one time.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, that was called the teacher's, to us, to me, it was the teacher's home. But O.C. Ellen would have meals with us.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Was she married?
Not to my knowledge.
Well, you kind of answered this question earlier, I believe, but if you lived in the Brownsburg area during the Depression years, 1930 to 40, describe your life during that period of time. What was it like to live through that period of time, and tell us about any special experiences you recall from those years relating to the Depression. How did the Depression affect your family, do you believe?
Well, it did not affect our family in that we had all the necessities. And my mother continued her sewing, and that was some income. Daddy's work brought in income. It did not influence us in any way.
So you don't have any special
I don't.
Adverse feelings about the Depression?
No.
And likewise, and this is sort of out of your range, but during World War II, similar.
Mm-hmm.
What was the effect of World War II on your life?
Well, in that my four brothers were in service, and I had 11 cousins in service.
So it was a lot
they
of
were all the Wades, yes.
A lot of family members.
Yes. I have two brothers in the Army and two preferred the Navy. And I had two uncles. So it was a loss. I was quite active at Lehigh here again. I can recall going to the Dixie Theater and the Visualite Theater and collecting for war bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I can recall helping to serve light refreshments for USO dances. I can recall my mother and the ladies that she was acquainted with in the community going to Woodrow Wilson Rehabilitation Center. And they took, mother crocheted Afghans and took them to those in the wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
So we just became real active, and
you have any recollection of rationing?
Of rationing?
Rationing.
Yes. We used rationing for sugar, for gas. I reckon flour. I can recall sugar.
Now, did your dad stay in Norfolk during World War II?
Yes, he came home all weekends.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Well, what changes, good or bad, have you seen take place in the Brownsburg area during during the time either you lived here or after that?
I am real delighted that persons who have bought and come to live in Brownsburg, that they love the community as much as I'm speaking personally, as much as I do,
right.
And want to preserve the history. And here again, my preservation ideas go back to my daddy.
Okay.
Preserve it, don't tear it down.
Right. Were you Did you all have electricity in your house when you were living here?
When I was living, yes. I can recall the first electricity. My Uncle Finn Huffman, and Finley Wade, Ollie Huffman, strung they strung the telephone wires for the telephone company. I don't know who strung for the electricity, but we did have, yeah.
Do you remember living in, what it was like to live without electricity?
When I visited my sister over in the Bear place, the electricity had not gotten that far. And I can recall going home from school, she would pick me up and I'd go over there. I can recall studying by oil lamp, yes.
Mm-hmm. And when was the first telephone system set up, do you recall that? Did you all have telephone service?
Yes.
Do you recall whether that happened, started while you were growing up here or not?
It evidently, because I can recall the telephone system used down by Maddie and what's her name? She married Sue Panger. Anyway, yes.
So that was the telephone building. Where was that located?
It was in the upstairs of the old bank building.
Upstairs of the old bank building.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they had a kitchen, two bedrooms, and a room then, and a bath, and a room then that was used as a telephone company.
So they actually lived there? The
yes.
Operators?
Yes, uh-huh.
They would live there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
See, they were on duty 24 hours.
Well, do you have any recollection of how the building that is now going to house the Brandsburg Museum was used in the early days?
No, I don't. I just recall that always the Whipples owned it, and it was a residence. But I feel like it has been used for, had other uses.
But you don't recall?
I don't recall.
It,
uh-huh.
How about the paving of the roads? What roads were paved? Was the Brandsburg, what we call the Main Street, Brandsburg Turnpike, was that paved?
No, it was graveled.
It was graveled.
And I can recall the day that we called it
Macadam.
Macadam. Macadam.
Yes. I can recall the day when these huge trucks came lumbering down around the curve up there, and Pookie and Duty and Claire and all of us, we just wondered, was rushing out to see what
was
going
sisters?
On. No, those were my girlfriends.
Your
other girlfriends here. And Daddy came up from the steel house, and his shop was down there. And he said, "You kids get back in the house. Your feet are gonna get black, and that'll never come off." So I was scared, and we ran back into the house. But it took them maybe 3 days. They had to let the tar dry. Then they had to come back, and they did the rolling.
So when was that, you think? When was that? Was it before World War II?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, uh-huh.
Late 30s?
Late 30s, mm-hmm.
And how far did the Macadam go? I mean, how far out of Brownsburg did it go?
Oh, I don't know. Daddy wouldn't let us get near that. Couldn't get these black feet. I would say, well, at one time, before you got to the Huffman place, was not an office for VDOT, but where they put gravel and sand down. I think it went up that far at one time, and
mm-hmm.
then it went on to Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And all the other roads were still dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned your father had a shop down still house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But he had his own little building down there.
Oh, yes. It was a carpenter building, and he had the broom-making machine. Have you ever seen one of those?
No, I don't believe so.
Well, it's quite a contraption.
I bet.
And he raised the broom's corn, is what they call it. And then he He would do other jobs of carpentry and
So he had a separate little shop to
oh
do that,
yes,
yeah.
yeah. And in front of that shop was the pit. I call him Pitt because that's what he was called. Pleasant family was in, and I believe that house is still down there.
Yeah,
Of
I'm
course,
not sure.
you couldn't visualize the shop going down was on the right hand side, and the Pleasant house is on the right directly in front.
Have the location of any of the roads in the area changed to your recollection?
Not to my knowledge. Some, of course, the names have been changed. Now they're Route so and so and so and
Right,
so,
right.
and we'd say go down to go to the Bear family. You'd go down through the stores or between the stores back toward Rockbridge by
Yes,
it.
yeah.
Yeah.
And Fork Lane hasn't changed.
No.
Yeah. All right, how about businesses that existed in Brownsburg when you were growing up?
Okay, you know, I went
Or
back and made a listing of those. What number are you on?
it's number 12.
Let's see if I can find this. Because they're surprisingly. The doctor, Dr. Glenn Campbell, and Dr. Joseph Williams.
Yeah, where were they located?
Ed Patterson's home.
In the Patterson house.
Yeah, downstairs.
Down in the bottom basement area.
Were finished rooms. It was very, very nice. And then, of course, the Bank of Rockbridge. There were the Hayes Mill and the Wade's Mill. There's the telephone company. And there was Zach Franklin, the vet. Veterinary.
Where was
He
that located?
was not professional. He was not educated, but he knew animals and knew how to care for them. He, I believe, now living in his place is Swisher. It's on the left-hand side. Okay, before you turn down to go to Wade's Mill. Okay, you're going to turn to your right and sort of right here.
Oh, it's on the Brownsburg Turnpike,
Yes.
but out towards the church.
Yes.
Yeah, where this switch. Yeah, I think I know where you
I
mean.
would consider him a business because he
Yeah.
was paid for what he did, and that was his business. Of course, back in those days, you did not have to have a work permit. Weitzel's Funeral Home and their grocery store.
So that was a combination grocery store and funeral home.
Walter Potter was a blacksmith.
Where was that located?
Going up around the curve, across from where
On the south,
Betty lives now.
on the
Yeah.
south end of town.
And then Mr. Walter Reese had a tremendous cattle farm, and he had, we'd call it scales, in that you could take your cattle there and be weighed. Roy Huffman's grocery
Yeah,
store.
where was Mr. Reese? Was that outside of town,
Yes, outside of town, about fourth of a mile.
south? Is it
The
still
house
there?
is still there,
Yes.
big brick house, well maintained as far as I know.
I think that's probably the K's
I don't know.
house on the right. Is it opposite the Heslop farm?
I beg your pardon?
The opposite what is now the Heslop property.
Yes. Opposite there.
Okay, I think that's the K property now. All right.
That was a well-worked farm, but mostly cattle, I believe. And of course, Roy Huffman's grocery store.
Now, where was that located?
The sign, whomever owns it has the sign,
So
I believe,
it was
still
on
up
the
there.
east side of the turnpike, opposite sort of the bank.
Yes.
Okay.
And Roy
Next,
helped.
actually, next to the museum site.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That was a very active place.
Right.
Roy Huffman is my cousin in that his mother and my grandmother was sisters. And, of course, Mr. Lucas Store. And I mentioned Wade Mill. And then somehow the Lucas Store became the Farm Store.
Farm Bureau.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Sam Miller, he was a painter, and his specialty was painting barns.
Where did he live?
He lived before. Oh, you know where the yarn shop is?
Correct.
Okay, that is the Miller home place.
I see.
And the White House up above, where the yarn shop is, the big White House, that was the Height home, and that was purchased by my Russell Runkle that married my sister Claudia. My niece lives in the newer home, Doris and Jean Mullinex. They're there now. And then there was Roy Lott that after you milk, you put the milk, of course, in the milk cans, and Roy Lott from Middlebrook would pick up the milk, take it to, and he would, like if you had 10 cans of milk, he'd keep an account of it, and he would take it to Stanton Creamery in Stanton, sell it, and bring the profit back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I considered that a business. And then Mr. I cannot think of his name, owned the thrashing machine that helped, he would contract with farmers to cut their wheat. And so that was a business.
Well,
also,
did
Mr.
he live in Brownsburg?
Yes, he did. He lived in the stucco house on the diagonal from where I believe the Beards live there.
In Beard?
I believe that's where, it's a stucco house.
I see. Gotcha.
And then there was a gentleman, Mr. Shaw, who sold Raleigh products. So in my mind, they were businesses because they worked for profit.
Right. And they were active in the area.
Oh, very, very active. Very, very active.
Did you have any special experiences with any of those folks?
Well, yes, when Mr. Shaw would come to our home, he always bought cookies to sweeten mother and us up, I reckon, so we buy his products. He was such a lovely gentleman.
Yeah.
Lovely gentleman.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about the grocery stores and the bank and other businesses. Did you ever work in any of those businesses or help out with them?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I was too young for that.
Well, I guess we're getting down to the end here, but what stands out in your memory as the most significant or important event or events that have occurred in Brownsburg during the time you lived here?
Well,
that's a big question.
Yes, it is, because Brownsburg really was active, which I do not see that activity now. Everyone would sit on their porches in the summertime, and in the wintertime, us kids were always over there on Whipple's Hill sleigh riding.
So there were a lot of children.
It was a lot of children involvement. I cannot the circus.
There was a circus?
There was a circus. no, there was a circus down here in that field. There was a circus.
You're talking about across the road here? Behind the Weitzel somewhere?
Yeah, That, I don't know who owns that lot now, but the empty lot.
And Mr. Bosworth, I think, owns that lot.
Does he? And then the circus beside the empty lot up there beside Betty.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And where did they come from?
Who knows?
Were they discomfort day or so? Or
I would say they'd stay a week
a
if
week?
The community would put up with them for
Is
a week.
Was that before World War II? Or
before.
Yeah. Must have been a popular
It was.
attraction.
Oh my goodness, yes. Everybody
I had not heard
was
of that
in.
before.
Yes, there was a circus.
Well, any stories, humorous or otherwise, that you would like to tell us about?
Well, actually, no, except one in particular story that Molly Sue tells me when she sees me is my younger brother, who would stand at the door in just in a very long southern drawl, say, "Molly Sue, is it time to go home yet?"
This was at school?
At school.
Which brother is that? What's your
Bobby?
Bobby,
the youngest one.
And so that was in the first grade. You said that.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to share with us any family history or events, names of any relatives, well, we talked about that earlier, settlers.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any Revolutionary War, Civil War ancestors? Anything else regarding your family?
Yes. On a personal side, my passion is ancestry research, and I have, I'm in the process of researching the, are we still recording?
Pardon me?
Well, that's okay. I'm in the process of researching the Earhart family. And I have researched the family McCrae to the Earharts, and also the German named Bettdorf to Potter.
Bettdorf?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with that name?
I've not heard that name before,
mm-hmm.
No, but
mm-hmm.
Were they in this area, supposedly?
It was through the census takers or whomever did the recordings when the passengers got off the ships. And, of course, great-granddaddy Potter did not speak English.
Oh, really?
He spoke German. And the census taker did not understand. So he asked Granddaddy, "What do you do for a living?" And he said, I make pottery. But also he said he was a carpenter. So if Granddaddy had said carpenter, his last name would have been Zimmerman. But he said Potter. So that's how the name Potter got started. And was carried down.
Have you run across any pottery?
I have one that was made in 1835.
By your great-grandfather?
Great-grandfather. Mm-hmm.
I would hold on to that.
I will.
Okay.
My son will inherit that. And I'm doing the McClure family, which, of course, my grandmother, Mary Lou McClure. I'm doing the Steeles, which is through the McClures. And then I have a book that has been done by someone else. It's called the Alexander Carson Moore Family, which brings in kinship to Dr. Lynn Moore. So I'm very, very interested in all
that. A lot of work there, sounds like.
Yeah. I'm a member of the Augusta County Genealogical Society, and that's a society that is specifically helps you with
right.
the ancestry research.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other subjects or topics you want to mention about your life in Brownsburg?
No, nothing in particular. I think we've pretty well covered it.
Did we cover everything?
Yes.
And are there any other individuals that you think we should interview, that you would like us to interview?
Well, may I ask, whom have you interviewed?
Well, we have a list, and I'll be glad to show it to you.
All right.
But we're always interested in knowing about any others that you think
One
might
in
be
particular
desirable.
is Frank Schultz, and he attended school in the black school.
Black school, yeah.
And he would have some very good, vivid memories.
Right. I'm not sure. Well, I think he may be on our list.
Oh, good.
And but I'm not sure whether he's been interviewed yet or not. I'll have to check it out. But if you think of anybody else after this recording or interview is over with, we'll be glad to take them in under. We're trying to get as many people as we can.
Well, I'm sure, and that's great. What about John Layton?
Well, John Layton and Virginia are both on our list. But I don't think they've. I spoke to Ms. Whipple earlier this week, and she said they had not been interviewed yet. But we're going to try to get.
Well, John Layton has a sister who's the same age as I, and we. I mentioned her earlier.
Yeah.
Her last name, her married name is Chittum.
Is that Margie Ann Weitzel
yes.
Chittum?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have her, and she lives in Stanton.
Yes.
Right. I believe I checked, and I believe she is on our list.
Good. Mm-hmm.
So but I'll double check that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I want to thank you very much for agreeing to do this, and we will, in due course, this will be transcribed into writing, and I'll send you a copy, or we'll get a copy to you. And then if you want to make any changes or corrections or additions, feel free to do so. And
well, as I told you earlier, I am doing what I hope to be, it may not be a book, a pamphlet of some sort of X number of pages, of just odd little stories that I did not relate here because it would take too much time.
That would be nice. And
mm-hmm.
when you get that done, be sure to give us a copy.
I'll be glad to share. Be glad to.
Because we'll put all this down in the museum, and hopefully there'll be a lot of interesting things.
I'm looking forward to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much, and I will bring us to a conclusion, and we'll hit. Want to add a brief addition to this recording, which I failed to identify myself at the beginning of the interview. My name is Richard G. Anderson, and the interview was conducted by me at the time previously indicated.